rather be. No place I'd rather be than here in your love, here in your love. No place I'd rather be.
There's just no place.
No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be than here in your love. No place I'd rather be than here in your love, here in your love. No place I'd rather be.
Oh, there's just no place.
No place I'd rather be
than here in your presence.
No place I'd rather be than here in your love, here in your love.
Praise you, God. We thank you for your goodness. Why don't you applaud the Lord for his goodness, God? To be here in your house, Lord, to lift you up and magnify you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. While you're on your feet, going to give the opportunity to go around, greet one another, and be ushered at the back with the offering plate. You can give as well. Thank you for being in the house of the Lord. Why don't you make each other feel welcome? Shake a hand, introduce yourself if you don't know someone, but just tell them you're happy to see them here.
You hold my every moment.
portion. I believe you're more than enough for me. Jesus, you're all I need.
You hold my every moment. You calm my raging seas. You walk with me through fire.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. How wonderful you are, God. Thank you for your goodness, Lord, your mercy, your grace. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you for standing. You may be seated as the young people are making their way. I'm sure as a youth class, I do want to make you aware of a minor change in the schedule. On the 19th, we had planned after service a Mother's Memorial luncheon and a baked goods auction. And I know we had talked about it. We discussed it even in the department heads meeting, but somehow it just kind of slipped our mind that that day is the day for Sandwich High School, their graduation. If you don't know it, we have two seniors who are graduating this year, Kara Kreger and Mason Duell. And so their families obviously would not be able to be here for that. So we're still going to do the kickoff for our summer program during the p.m. time. So we're going to have a 6 p.m. session for those that could be involved in that. We're going to be kicking off and introducing what we're going to be doing during the summer on our Sunday nights. But we will not be having the luncheon and the baked goods auction immediately following service because we just know there's so much else going on in the community, and we didn't want that to suffer as a result. So I believe we're going to reschedule that for the 23rd of June, which would be fine. We'll still have time to get those monies in, if you will, for Mother's Memorial, but we haven't yet made the change on the calendar, so it's still putting some old information up there, but I just wanted to go ahead and get that out there while I was thinking of it, and we'll try to change the announcements accordingly, but just wanted to make you aware of that. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Before we do so, I do want to say thank you for those that were praying concerning. We had two individuals of the church that were in surgery on Tuesday yesterday, Sister Deanna Kellum and Sister Jane Moyer. They both came through the surgery very well, recovering. So we thank God for that. Thank you for praying concerning those particular needs. And so if you have a prayer request you'd like to make known to the church, why don't you slip up your hand and we'll call upon you. And you can make that known to the congregation. Wow, seems like everybody's doing good. And, no prayer requests at all? Well, we'll take some time and just thank God for his goodness and answering prayers. How about that? Why don't you stand to your feet? Or maybe you guys are just so excited about getting into the lesson. I'm kidding. Let's go to the Lord and let's thank him for his goodness. And if you have an individual need, well, God knows that individual need, but let's just go before him right now. Lord Jesus, we're so thankful for your goodness. Thankful that we can come and gather together, Lord, and lift praises to your name. God, we thank you for touching Sister Deanna Kellum, Sister Jane Moyer, God, and their surgeries yesterday. God, we thank you, Lord. We have you to depend upon and trust in, Lord, and we come with faith believing, God, of your work to continue in the hearts and lives of those individuals in this place. God, whatever the need is, God, that's represented here by the individual, Lord, you know every individual need, every individual circumstance of our life, and so we come before you believing and trusting in your power, God. Help us to be all that we can be, God, through you. God, teach us your ways. God, help us to understand the way you would have us to work in this world, God, and do what you would have us to do. We love you, Jesus. We honor you. We praise you. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace, your love and your truth for all that you are and all that you do. In your name that is above every name, in Jesus' precious name we pray. And everybody said amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. We are continuing in our study we entitled Developing the Leader in You. Following the session last week, I had lots of positive feedback in relation to the study. And so I hope that like me, you are going to glean from this. As I told you before, where I found it, I know that I have talked about this book or people have talked about this book before to me, but as I was doing some looking through Pentecostal Publishing House and came across Purpose Institute, which is basically college-level curriculum that is put out, and it's part of Pentecostal Publishing House, what they publish. And in that course material, I found this book, and it kind of piqued my interest. And so I began to read the book and realized right away that it was a very needed book, especially in my life. And I hope that you find it the same in your life. One of the things we talked about last week was the question is not whether or not we have influence, because every single one of us have influence in our lives. We, our decisions, our behaviors, what we do is impacting and influencing someone, right? So the question is not whether or not we have influence, but rather the question is, how will we use that influence to lead people? What things will we do, and how will we develop as a leader? How will we allow our influence to impact and influence other people? Because we talked about it in the sense that many of us can look back over our lives and find individuals, maybe moments, times where we were impacted, we were influenced by someone who led us to do things or be something or aspire to something. And we kind of broke it down. We said there was one word. If we were to define leadership with one word, that one word would be, let's see how good I did last week. What, says Christy? Influence. If the ability to have followers essentially is what we talked about in leadership, in a very general, if you will, explanation or definition of what leadership is. It's influence. It's the ability to have or acquire followers. And so last week, we're going to touch on this a little bit. I kind of ventured out into the five levels of leadership, and I just basically named them. And then I said, that's where we're going to study. That's where we're going to spend our time next week, is studying those different five levels of leadership. And so people come up afterwards and say, hey, you know, does this quality mean I'm a certain leader, so on and so forth. And there's something we need to understand with respect to leadership roles or levels, if you will, when we get into this tonight. And we'll, when we come back to the end, we'll circle back and just remind us of this. We can be at different levels depending on our different circles. Okay, let me explain that. Where I could be at one level of leadership, maybe in a family sense, where maybe people look up to me and I have permission to speak into their lives based upon a level of leadership that I have attained within that circle. But I may not have that same level of leadership in the workplace. I may only be a positional leader in the workplace. And so you have to think of these levels with respect to the different circles. Now, obviously, the objective is to be able to be a consummate leader in every circle of life, in any sphere of influence, you will, if you will, to be an exceptional leader. And so we talked about that a little bit last week. I want to start out with a passage of scripture. It's found in Ephesians chapter number 4. I have it in the King James and the New International Version. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, I'm going to show you, as we go through these levels of leadership, now, it probably goes without saying, but I'm going to say it anyhow. When it comes to leadership ability, there was none better than Jesus Christ himself. I'm going to show you that. If ever there was an individual who attained and was at all five levels of leadership, if you will, simultaneously, and did so in his life, it was in the person of Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you how we know that. And when we get to that, you'll be able, and you'll probably nod your head in agreement with me, that he undoubtedly reached personhood in the sense of a level of leadership. And we'll talk about that. NIV says it this way. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, to equip his people for the works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So the objective is to be a consummate leader like Jesus was. To be a leader like Jesus was. Till we all come to the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. Till we become, whether individually or as a body of believers, we become leaders. Where we are leading other people, right? When we talked about this, we made a statement last week, and I'll see if how many of you remember the statement. And I blanked out two words because maybe you can remember what these words were. Most people have a desire to look for the blank instead of a desire, instead of the desire to become blank. I heard exception.
exception and exceptional. Most people have a desire to look for the exception instead of the desire to become exceptional. We talked about this at length last week. We talked about how that if we are not careful, we become okay with the status quo. We would rather make excuses about where we are rather than desire to become exceptional and graduate to the next level of leadership. And so this can just be another series. This can just be another time where we come and we sit in a pew on a Wednesday night and we say, hey, we checked the box. We were at church on Wednesday. Or this can be a time where each one of us can find within this study the traits, the characteristics, the qualities that help us ascend to the next level of leadership. Because what you're probably going to find is what I found. When I did this study and I began to look at my own life and I even looked at my role as a pastor of this assembly, I realized pretty quickly, and I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be very candid with this teaching session. I realized very quickly I was not at the level that I assumed I was. And then some things hit me about being able to ascend to the next level and things that I have to look at in my own life if I am going to be the kind of leader that God would have me to be. And so I hope the same is true for you, because it's these kind of studies, it's this kind of introspection, if you will, into our own lives that will help us. We're not here looking for the exception. We're here looking on how to be exceptional. How can I be a better leader in my family? How can I be a better leader in my workplace? How can I be a better leader in my social circle? How can I be a better leader within the body of believers? How can I, Pastor, be a better leader? Show me. Tell me how to develop the leader in me. Well, I hope that's the case. And I hope that's your desire, because it's my desire to be an exceptional leader. Great leaders are exceptional people with exceptional confidence. You say, well, I know some people that have exceptional confidence, but they're not very, very good leaders. Now, understand, when we talk about this, you can have confidence without being a good leader. But it's hard to be a good leader without good confidence. Exceptional confidence. Now, and understand, as followers of Christ, our confidence, Paul said, I have no confidence in the flesh. It's not in my ability. It's not in my intellect. Not by might nor by power, but by his spirit. It's the understanding that this is a spiritual thing. And I'm wanting to ascend in the levels of leadership, not because I have natural aspirations, but because I have spiritual aspirations. I want people to follow me as I follow Christ. I want to become a better leader so I can lead more people in a walking relationship with Jesus Christ. That's really what it boils down to. But I need to have some exceptional confidence, not in and of myself or my own ability, but in God's ability to work through me as I submit to a desire to become exceptional. Story is told of a private in World War I who shouted out on the battlefield, "Put out that match," only to find out to his chagrin that the offender who struck the match was General Black Jack Pershing. When the private, who fearing severe punishment, tried to stammer out his apology, General Pershing patted him on the back and said, "That's all right, son. Just be glad I am not a second lieutenant." In other words, the general had enough confidence in his own ability that a reprimand from a private didn't set him back. "It's all right, son. Just be thankful I'm not a second lieutenant. Thankful I'm just not right above you, because if I was just a second lieutenant, I may not have the confidence that I have in my position. I may take offense to that." Here's the thing. Here's a quality that comes from exceptional leadership, is the ability to be unoffended. Remember, we did a whole series on being unoffended. One of the great qualities and characteristics of being a good leader is that I'm unoffendable. I have enough confidence. Your critique or your advice, and we're going to talk about this here in a little bit. I heard a profound statement the other night, and it was by a basketball announcer. Jeff Van Gundy, who was a one-time basketball coach, who's now a commentator, he made a statement. He said this. He said, you should never take critique from someone you wouldn't take advice from. I was like, man, that's spot on. If I understand a relationship with someone where they can advise me, well, then they also should be able to critique me. But if someone who doesn't really have, it's like, there was a guy I used to play golf with in Florida, and I didn't like playing with him that much. I'm not a good golfer. I am the exception in the sense that I, like everybody else, you know, get my money's worth, I say. But this guy thought he was exceptional. But the problem was, he wasn't much of a better golfer than I was. But yet he felt the need to give me pointers all the time on how to golf. And I wanted to look at him and say, dude, when you start making, like, when you're playing 10 strokes better than me, then come give me advice. Otherwise, keep your trap shut. You're not that good. But here's the thing. In leading other people and being able to advise them, you have to have that level in their life where your advice or your critique is warranted and they heed it. They welcome it. And we'll talk about what level that's at. I'm getting ahead of myself. Stay with me. Let's talk about five levels of leadership. The P's and the R's. Position, which has to do with rights. Permission, which has to do with relationships. Production, which has to do with results. People development, which has to do with reproduction. And personhood, which has to do with respect. So let's dive in. Let's talk about these different levels of leadership. Level number one, position, rights. Entry level of leadership where the level of your influence is that which comes with your title. There's a lot of people making it this one. You don't know why? Because they're appointed. Because they are given that level of leadership. At 17 years of age, I was given the position of night shift manager at Chick-fil-A. At 17. Well on my way to exemplary leadership. But the reality is, the only thing that I was 17. I was just a dumb kid. I was a teenager who thought he knew it all. And the reality is, there was people that were quote unquote under me that had no respect for me whatsoever. And the only reason why they ever listened to me is because I simply held a position. That's it. I just had a position. I just had a little extra letters on my name tag. That's all. Level often gained by appointment, not necessarily ability. You know why they made me manager? Because I'd been there for 2 years. I started at 15, and 2 years later, I was still there. And if you know anything about the fast food business, the attrition rate is horrendous. Constant turnover. So it wasn't necessary that I had the ability to lead. It was just the fact I had been there for 2 years and knew more than anybody else. It was just based upon appointment. He's been here for 2 years. Give him the night shift. People seldom follow beyond this leader's stated authority, and morale is often low. Whew, this is so true. This is middle management at its finest. Right here. People will do certain things because it's in their certain job description and because you hold a certain title over them. Those being led will follow out of positional obligation. It's just that you are their quote unquote boss. You have some letters attached to your name, assistant, whatever, that they do not. And so by sheer virtue of the position, they will follow. But only to the level of your stated authority. Try to get people to do something outside their job requirement as a positional leader is frustrating. It's an argument. It's a fight. Why? Because you were just appointed. They don't really hold you in higher regard, okay? I don't mean to be offensive. But positional leadership is frustrating. It's frustrating for the leader and it's frustrating for the follower. Because it's simply based upon a position. It is simply a stated authority that is often given by appointment. And they'll follow, but it's only positional obligation, only because you are their quote-unquote boss, and you have a higher position than they do. Will they listen or abide by what you require in the sense of their job description? Beyond that, yeah, not so much. Like the little boy who was asked by Billy Graham how to find the nearest post office. The lad told him, Dr. Graham thanked him and said, if you come to the convention center this evening, you can hear me telling everyone how to get to heaven. I don't think I'll be there, the boy replied. You don't even know the way to the post office. I'm not going to follow you. You had to ask me for directions. But I am this person. You do this because I am your boss. If you have to say that, some of y'all, if I have to say that, you do this because I'm pastor, you do this because I'm leader, you do this because I'm man of the house, guess what? It's a positional leadership. And it's frustrating for all parties involved. Level two, permission, relationships. This is when it goes beyond a position and you're developing relationships with people. Here, a level of leadership where people will work for you even when not obligated to do so. At this level, people will stay the extra hours because they know the work needs to get done, and you have that relationship with them where they will make the conscious effort and they will say, you know what, I'll do that. I don't have to, but I want to help you out. And that comes from relationship. That comes from now you have permission. They are giving you permission to maybe escalate the requirements or maybe do more. Why? Because you've established relationship with them. It's not just I am your boss. It's that we have a relationship and there's some accountability back and forth. I to you, you to me through this relationship. And so you will go the extra mile sometimes. This is leadership from the heart and not the head. It's leadership that comes because people know you're sincere and you care. This level flourishes in relationships, not more regulations. Understand this. You establish relationships, get this. If you establish relationships, some of what people do, they will do because of the relationship. Because there is a connection. And then sometimes things they're not seen as regulations. They're seen, we talk about this in our walk in relationship with God, where there are things, well, show me Bible and verses. Listen, it's not about regulations, it's about relationship. And once I allow that relationship to flourish, I no longer see those things as regulations. So this type of leadership flourishes in that relationship where you're leading from the heart and not the head. It's not just that I have this position. It's that in this position, I am reaching to you and you are reaching to me and we have a relationship. And as a result of this relationship, things flourish. People able to build solid, lasting relationships are able to sustain long, effective leadership. There's a caveat to this one, though. Because sometimes, because of those relationships that we establish, we fail to make the push to production. And the reason why we fail to make the push to production is because we're afraid we're going to mess up the relationship. And so we don't push people. Now, I'll tell you, I find this happens a lot. This is if I were to tell you where I'm at in my leadership levels, I'm probably right here. Because I struggle at pushing for production. Just don't. Matter of fact, if I come to someone and ask them to do something and they give me a half-hearted excuse, I'll just abandon it. I will. Okay. I don't push. I'm not assertive. I don't use the relationship as leverage. And that, but please understand, I'm not saying that's a demeaning thing. What I'm saying is that sometimes those people are wanting you to give them extra incentive or to give them a little push into production. But because you're afraid you're going to ruin the relationship and that permission that they've granted you in their life is going to be withdrawn, you stop. You don't press any forward. You're just there. Oh, I have the relationship. I don't want to ruffle any feathers. I don't want to upset anybody. I don't want to push anybody further than they want to go. And so we just throttle back. I want to build this long. And please understand, this sometimes can be a double-edged sword because this is where a lot of people stop. Or they just completely skip it over. And we'll talk about that in a minute. Because this is where hang-ups often happen. We establish relationships with people, but we're afraid to push for production. We're afraid to go to the next level because permission has been granted and we don't want to mess up that permission. And so we don't push. So any resistance, we back off. Any objection? Okay. But it forms the foundation for real production. Relationship is, it does form the foundation for real production. And the crazy thing is that the greater that relationship and the greater those connections, you should see it as the greater the foundation for pushing for production. The greater the production can be built upon that. But we don't often, we stop there. And if I were to look at my life, I'd say this is where I'm at. I'm good at developing relationships with people, I think. I need to get better at it. But I'm not good at pushing for production. Question? It can. It's a great point. It can. And we'll talk about that. It can die. It can start to atrophy, if you will. Because people, here's the thing. Highly motivated people get very frustrated at this level if it doesn't go to production. They get frustrated. They don't see results. They don't see anything happening. And so as a result, sometimes the permission is let go. And the very thing you tried to avoid in the first place, in the permission into someone's life, the very thing that you were afraid of hurting is now gone. They don't grant you that permission anymore because there's no production. So yes, it can. And that's the thing. Dealing with different people. Remember one of the things we talked about in the traits of leadership is you got to have the skill set to be able to deal with multiple people because you're dealing with people at multiple levels. And that's sometimes it's a puzzle trying to figure out how I should handle this individual. Should I push this individual or should I not? Should I back off or should I throttle up? And often, we get it wrong. And often, we back off when we should throttle up. And sometimes, we throttle up when we should back off. It's knowing how to do that. It's knowing how to take it from that permission to that production area. But don't be tempted to skip permission level. For a skip, success in other levels is then short-lived. Here's what happens a lot of times. People get a position and then they push for production. And sometimes they get it. It's the, please excuse this mentality, but it's the revival mentality. It's push for production. It's push for people to be. It's push. But if you don't establish a relationship and you don't get, those people don't grant you permission in their lives, you will fail to disciple them. And then guess what? It's short-lived. The turnover happens. Here for a little while, and then gone. And even in the secular workplace, this happens. People get a position. They'll become a sales manager. So every meeting, go more sales. Let's increase our sales rate. Let's increase our sales. But they're not doing anything in an established relationship. Those people that they are pushing for sales have not granted them that permission in their life. You can't walk in here just because of your position and tell me what I got to do and how I got to do it. That don't jive. You want to spend some time and learn about my... The things that I'm struggling with, you want to spend some time and find some areas that are frustrating me, we can talk about and work together. Well, then maybe I'll give you permission to walk into my life and tell me I got to do this and I got to do that. See, what happens a lot of times in managers or leaders, they'll get the position and then they'll push for production. They'll skip the permission level altogether and they'll get production. People will do it to keep their job. But guess what? There's no relationship. This happens a lot in corporations where managers are constantly turning over. Sales managers are coming in and they're pushing and they're pushing and they're pushing and they're pushing. But they're not establishing relationship. There's no permission given. It'll plateau. It'll be short-lived. It'll be a shooting star. It'll peak for a while, but then down. Why? Because you can't skip this level. You cannot skip the permission level. To be a successful leader, you cannot skip the permission level. You have to have relationship. Production. Results. Level of leadership where people follow because they see the results. Present success is seen and future success is sensed. That's huge. See it? It's now. And this is not short-lived. This is something that's going to sustain. This is something that's going to, it's got longevity to it. It's not a shooting star. It's not a one-month spike. This thing has got potential. And I'm seeing the present results, but they're indicative and I sense some future. It's not just because we're having a good month or this thing happened or this greatest thing came down the pipe. No, it's the reality that this is long-term, that there is production here. People follow because they're seeing the results. They're seeing things happen. The big mo hits in this level. Momentum. Momentum has people going above and beyond as morale is high. Oh yeah, I see things happening, so I'll put a little extra effort in. I'll do a little bit more work. We invest into those things where we see a return. We do. We invest in those things wherein we see a return. And when we don't see a return, guess what we do? Pull back. Because why spend my time and my effort and my resources in something where there is no results? It's frustrating. But if there's production, if there's things happening, well then guess what? I'm more willing to contribute. I'm more willing. I'm greasing that wheel because it's running. It's turning. Things are happening. Meetings become results-oriented. Where there's results happening. Where things, okay, how can we see more? How can we see greater results? You see, in relationships, we just get together to get together. Oh, is it going to be enlightening for some? We get together just to get together because we like to get together. We get together, we have fellowship, we have a good time. But when you reach production, now the getting together has a purpose. And it got quiet in here. Now it's results oriented. Now it's more than just getting together because we got a good relationship. Now it's getting together because results are happening. This level bridges permission and people development. Bridges permission and people development. Why is this level the bridge? Why would we call production the bridge? Well, we talked about it a little bit earlier. When there is no production, sometimes the permission is withdrawn. And if in the production, I am not acquiring permission, people development doesn't happen. Production is the bridge. It bridges permission and people development. It causes those individuals who see the results to say, I want to be personally involved in those results. I want to grow myself so that I can be a greater contributor to the results. I'm going to invest more because I'm seeing more of a return. And so this is why production is so important. and why it bridges the gap, if you will, between permission and people development. But you got to be careful, because it's almost like you can't have, if you have one without the other, it's going to atrophy, and you're not going to see results, and you're not going to ascend to the other levels of leadership. If you have permission, you have relationships, but no production, people are going to get frustrated. Highly motivated people are going to fall away. But if you have production and no permission, it's going to be short-lived also. But if you have permission and then production comes as a result of that permission, now you're getting somewhere. Now, in the sense of that momentum that comes with the production, with the results that happen, as a result of the relationship that produces production, guess what then? Now you're starting to develop people. People development. Reproduction. At this level, the leader's abilities are reproduced in others, equipping them and empowering them. This is a great level of leadership. And the reason why few people get to this level is because permission and production are difficult and sometimes take a very long time. Because they're not patient with the process. And so they don't allow those relationships to have production. And there's some people, think about this, there are some people that don't care about permission, they just want results. And so they just push for production. And if they don't get the production, then they no longer grant the permission, and then it just dies. It's the same. Understand this. This is why ascending to this level is so difficult. Now, we can either say, yep, there we are. There's the exception. That's why I like 1 and 2. 1 and 2. I'm good with 1 and 2. If we can get 3 to bridge to 4, if we can get production to bridge to people development, we can get some momentum going with results that cause those relationships to flourish and they build, and that bridge between the two becomes stronger and more stable, and now people are being developed. The leader's abilities are reproduced in others, equipping them and empowering them. Critique and advice are welcomed and heeded here. I'll say that again. Critique and advice are welcomed and heeded here. You reach people development. Guess what? And what you say a lot of times has much more weight to it. Critiques you give or the advice you give is heeded. Why? Because people want to develop. They want to see results in their own life. They want to be a consummate leader as well. And so they welcome critique. They welcome advice. Tell me what I need to do. Here, the leader's main goal is to develop those that will replace him or her. Yes. Yes. They're threatened. They're threatened. Here, they start developing people, they get momentum, production, and then they start giving advice, they start mentoring other individuals. This is where even in the church sense, there are some pastors, and thank God, Brother Davis, you did not take this route. But there are some pastors who will not let go, even though other men are in the wings waiting. They have been mentored. They have the skill set. They have the ability. Oh, wait a second, though. Instead of looking at it like I've done a great job where I have mentored someone who can now replace me, I'm going to be replaced. And they're threatened. You're exactly right. This is a place where a lot of times it sours. And then what happens sometimes is because of the trickle down from that, if they don't recognize that they are at this level, they are, their main goal is basically you're developing your replacement. And if they don't recognize that and allow that to flourish, they'll kill it from the top down. Ongoing growth is stabilized as the support for such growth is spread out among multiple people pillars. I want to be that type of leader that works himself right out of a job. Why? Because he's mentored his replacement. And not just one replacement, but multiple people pillars are now in place where it doesn't all rise and fall with one. There's multiple people that at any moment can stand in and take up any slack. And it just keeps going without a hitch. And growth is stabilized. And people feel confident. And people feel secure. And the results keep happening. See, this is level 4. And not too many people make it to this level. This is people development. Good corporations and good churches are at this level where they're developing other people who can step in at any point in time. Keep the ball rolling. Keep things happening. Success without a successor is failure in leadership. Success without a successor is failure in leadership. Level 4 leadership is I'm developing my successor. And my level of success is seen in the life and the ability and the traits and the qualities of that successor or successors who are taking it, making it bigger and better and greater. And then you have personhood. The R is respect. Very few people ever attain this level. Yeah. Yeah. You can just skip one. You can skip over this one. Not going to be there. It's, yeah. Not going to make it to that level. Very few people do, so I'm more of the, you know, I'm more of the 1, 2, maybe 3, 4 if I'm lucky. These leaders are bigger than life. And followed because of who they are and what they represent. How do we know when someone has reached personhood? What happens as a result of their leadership ability? What happens as a result of them ascending all the way to level 5? So much so that their life almost transcends everything that they were a part of. Leaders whose impact creates ripples that reach far into the future. Let me ask you this. Did the impact of the life of the man of Jesus Christ, is it still impacting us today? Are the ripples of what he did still reaching unto us today? Oh, yes. The greater the personhood, the longer the effects of their life lingers after they are gone. Be that type of leader that even after I'm gone, the ripples are still reaching. Effect is still being seen through the hearts and minds of other individuals. The other individuals are coming along behind and seeking to emulate that because of what was done, because of who that person was and the life that person lived. Now, other people want to emulate that, and other people want to live that kind of life. Other people want to have that kind of life. Ever there was someone who reached personhood, it was the man Christ Jesus. Now, even to this day, we're studying, we're looking into the Word. We want to be more like Him. What greater life could anybody lead than the life that Jesus Christ led? No greater leader in all the world has ever existed than the man Christ Jesus.
Never went to a physical battle. Never painted a masterpiece of a portrait. Never, to our understanding, built anything of great notoriety. But yet, more people still talk about his life. Think about it. More books have been written about his life than any other person in all of human history. Till we all come to the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. So what do? First of all, know at what level you are. Understanding this can be different depending on the circle. We talked about this earlier. Know at what level you are. In what circle? What level am I at in my family? What level am I at in the workplace? What level am I at in social circles? What level am I at? Know your circle and then know what level you're at in that circle. Then learn and apply the qualities and traits necessary to graduate to the next level. Okay, Pastor, tell me what they are. I only got 3 minutes. That's why we're looking at a study like this. So that I can learn, and I can see, okay, maybe I wasn't born with it, but guess what? I can learn, and it can be born in me. I can learn what it means to be a great leader. I can find myself ascending into the next level. I can find myself where I'm not always hitting that glass ceiling, and I can't seem to get beyond, and I'm frustrated. I can make it to the next level. And then enjoy the journey and be patient with the process. It doesn't happen overnight. It takes time and effort and resource. If I'm going to be exceptional at anything, it's going to take a lot of practice. It's going to take a lot of failures. It's going to take a lot of mistakes and mess ups. So until I get it right. And I have stated before, you know what practice is? It's controlled failure. I learn how to control it. I learn, okay, where I messed up and how I need to do it different. And how. But here's the thing. If I'm not willing to learn from those mistakes and I'm not willing to look back and be introspective in my own life and decide, yeah, I got a lot of growing to do. And I just concede to be exception like everybody else and just, you know, I'll just continue to go along with the masses of mediocrity and, yeah, I'm okay, one, two. No, I'm not. I don't want to be. I don't want to be stuck at a level where I can't seem to get beyond. It's frustrating. I want to know what can I do? What steps can I make? And if I can truly find those and apply those, and I'm doing and I'm endeavoring, and I'm putting forth the effort, finding the ways, and it still ain't happening, well then maybe it ain't me. But for right now, I got to find where me has to change. I got to find where me needs to be different to make things different. Closing, you can stand to your feet. Developing the leader within you. We all have it because we all have influence. We all have opportunity to make a difference. To have the ripples of our life reach further. Lord Jesus, we love you. God, I'm thankful for your word. God, I'm thankful that I'm challenged, God. I look into my own life, find those areas, God, where improvement is necessary. God, those areas that through your spirit can be developed, the skills that can be honed, God, through prayer and time with you and in your word as you teach and develop, God, as you help me, God, to navigate what it means to be who you would have me to be in leading other people. Lord, I love you. I praise you. I thank you. I honor you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace. God, let me learn of you, God, and let me apply the principles and precepts, God, and put them into practice, Lord. We love you, we praise you, we thank you, we honor you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace, for all that you are and all that you do. In Jesus' precious name we pray, and everybody said amen. God bless you. You may go.